perimeter.
I see. And what are these? Scattered through the jungle, about 10 kilometers beyond your perimeter.
Listening posts, dug in with seismographs. If any burrowers are on their way in, we'll have plenty of warning. Believe it or not, we do know what we're doing.
I'm sure you do.
But
the real question is, do the Tyranids know what you're doing?
Managed to find you some recaf, sir, and a salt grox bap. Sure you wouldn't rather eat in the mess hall?
I'm positive. You know how awkward everyone gets. Half of them look at me like I've just shaken hands with the Emperor, and the rest like they're worried I'll shoot one of them on the spot. Thanks.
You don't think the Colonel will be disappointed, sir?
Relieved, more like. Even more so when we leave tomorrow.
Leave, sir?
I think we should inspect one of those listening posts. You know the Nids as well as I do. They're getting ready for a major assault here, and it's going to be a bloody business when they do.
Good idea, sir. Make sure they can warn us in good time.
I nodded. But in truth, that wasn't the real reason. If the hideous creatures really were massing for the attack, all my experience and instincts told me was imminent, I wanted to be a long way away when it came.
Are you sure about this? You won't see much action at Echo 37. Surely one of the listening stations between us and the main mass of Tyranids would be a better choice.
The last thing the frontline units need now is a distraction. When the attack comes, even a second or two's extra warning could be critical. And I want their attention on the geophones, not tidying up for a snap inspection.
Good point.
So it was. I'd given enough thought to concocting a reason to visit a post well away from the Tyranids' predicted line of advance.
Besides, the Nids like to go in for flank attacks.
Yes, they do.
Sneaky, your Nids. Especially those lictors. They can pop up and suck your brains out before you even know they're there.
Indeed they can.
And Jane Steelers are almost as bad. Saw them rip a squad of Terminator Marines apart once. Never even knew they were coming till they pounced.
Jürgen, you'll spook our escort.
Not much fear of that. Catacans don't spook. Especially these ones.
I can believe it. I've seen orcs that look less intimidating.
And with fewer scars.
I haven't kept you waiting, I hope so.
Sergeant Zale's one of our best recon specialists. You couldn't be in safer hands.
Me and the boys will get you to Echo 37 in one piece.
I don't doubt that for a second. I'd have felt a lot better if they'd mentioned getting back too, though. The journey to the listening post was every bit as arduous as I'd expected. Pretty much everything we encountered making assiduous efforts to kill us. But Zale and his men lived up to the confidence the Colonel evidently had in him, and they kept most of the predators off our backs. And the few they missed were no match for Jürgen and I, who had more than enough experience of staying alive in the most unpromising of circumstances.
Good shooting, sir.
Never seen anyone draw a sidearm that fast.
I get a lot of practice. Not for the first time, I found myself wondering if this expedition was folly of the purest kind. But we were still unscathed, and nothing that had attacked us so far had been anything like as fearsome as a charging Tyranid swarm. If they really were massing for an assault on the firebase, our chances of survival out here would be far greater, however low they looked in absolute terms.
What was that?
What?
Thought I saw movement. Over there.
Just the strangle vines flexing. They can sense our body heat.
There it is again, sir. 4 o'clock.
I saw it too. Something's definitely trailing us.
Lictor, you reckon?
Throne, hope not. The Nids aren't supposed to be anywhere near here. Sergeant Zale.
Sir?
We're being stalked. Sound like any of the local wildlife?
It could be. Most of the big predators have learned to leave us alone, though. Brennan, Clist, sweep right. Reinforce the lesson.
On it, Sarge.
Whatever it is, they'll find it.
Or it'll find them.
Come on!
Despite my obvious reluctance, I ran with him, making sure to stay a pace or two behind. I had a reputation for leading from the front to live up to, however undeserved it may have been, and my life depended on the vigilance of the troopers surrounding me. This was hardly the time to be casting doubt on it. Besides, being left alone in the middle of a jungle full of things determined to kill me seemed even less safe than charging headlong into harm's way, at least while I had a squad of guardsmen to hide behind.
Throne on Earth. Looks like you were right about the Tyranids, Commissar. Nothing local did that to them.
No, it didn't.
Don't look like Nids to me either, sir. Not cut about like that.
No. Whatever did this took them apart with surgical precision and didn't stop to feed. Better not mention it to the sergeant, though. As long as he thinks he knows what he's dealing with, he'll stay confident.
Any idea, sir, about what really did it?
None I like.
In truth, the condition of the cadavers did strike me as familiar in some fashion. Although the memory refused to come into focus, which, considering the amount of violent death I'd seen in the past half century or more, was probably not all that surprising. Along with the nagging sense of familiarity came a strong feeling of dread, which I could scarce account for, but which settled about me with suffocating weight. It was as much to dispel it as anything that I began to take charge, remembering the old military maxim that in a crisis it was better to do the wrong thing than do nothing at all. Any tracks?
Nothing. But if these lictors are as stealthy as you say they are, they wouldn't be.
Best press on to the outpost, then. We can send back a burial detail to recover the bodies.
What for? They'll be stripped to the bone in an hour. And even those will be gone by nightfall. What the jungle takes, the jungle keeps. First thing you learn on Catacomb.
Which made me even more heartily glad I'd never been there.
Echo 3-7, respond.
Nothing on my bead either, sir.
We should be in range by now.
Maybe their fox is down.
Move in carefully. Keep watching each other's backs.
Well, at least we'll be undercover before nightfall.
What happens at night?
Things get a lot less pleasant round here.
Which, given how uninviting they were in broad daylight, sounded far from encouraging. Jürgen and I hurried after him, as the remaining members of our escort closed in on the blocky, precast bunker, which gradually became visible through the dense tangle of vegetation. Despite regular attempts to keep it and its environs clear with flamers and defoliant sprays, some of the more tenacious plants were already twining themselves around it, and I gave them as wide a berth as I could, far from eager to discover what toxic surprises they held. We'd all seen flickers of movement several times in the hours since the butchery of the two troopers sent to investigate them, but, so far, at least, whatever was trailing us seemed content to keep their distance, which was fine by me. I just wished I could believe they'd continue to do so.
No signs of life, sir. Not the sort we want, anyway.
Not the sort anyone would want.
I skirted the hideous thing cautiously, still unsure if it was plant or animal, and approached the blockhouse. The main door was wide open, and the palms of my hands began to itch with unease. If I'd had any doubts at all that something had gone badly wrong here, they were instantly dispelled by the sight of that yawning portal. Leaving the entrance to that refuge open and unguarded in an environment so abundant in inimical life forms would run completely counter to every instinct a native Deathworlder possessed.
Hello?
Wait here, sir. Team One with me. Two, stay here and guard the Commissar.
Then, without another word, he was gone. No doubt wishing to get away before I could object and insist on accompanying him. Not that I had the slightest intention of doing either, of course. After a few moments, he reappeared, a couple of fresh abrasions on his face and arms.
Nids? Just local vermin.
Any sign of the garrison?
Nothing. The place seems deserted.
And so it was. We searched the whole outpost, and Zael led a sweep through the surrounding jungle.
Almost certainly unaccompanied by Kane.
To no avail. Not a single survivor could be found from among the dozen or so men stationed there. Which was not to say they hadn't left traces of their presence, and those of the most disquieting kind. Chiefly spatters of blood and a few pocks in the walls where lasgun rounds had missed their mark. As night fell and we sealed the building against the terrors of the night, I conferred urgently with Zael.
That's it. We're sealed in. Nothing can get through that.
I'm sure the men stationed here thought the same thing. Is the Vox repaired yet?
There was nothing wrong with it.
But they never reported they were under attack. Whatever hit this place, it struck fast, before they had time to react.
Gene stealers, you reckon, sir? A whole swarm of them. Hellish fast they are. And they can squeeze in pretty much anywhere.
True. Sergeant, get every air vent, waste pipe, and conduit sealed tight. If that's how they got in, they'll remember the trick. Weld the grills if you have to.
Not that it would make much difference. The claws on a Steeler could rip through Terminator armor like Jürgen through a ration pack, so a couple of metal grills weren't likely to slow them at all. But I knew what the troopers must be thinking, that their comrades had been precisely where we were now just a few hours before, and it was vital to keep them busy before that reflection had a chance to chew away their morale. Anything I could do to make them think we stood a chance would increase our odds of survival 1,000-fold.
Right, sir. You heard the commissar, get moving.
The Nits didn't do this. It was something else.
If you say so, sir.
They're not exactly subtle, are they? They'd have left more traces. Claw marks, holes in the walls where they'd forced their way in, that kind of thing.
What then, sir?
Fracked if I know. But I'd lay good odds it had something to do with whatever is trailing us. You saw what was left of those troopers.
Messer, any idea what it was?
No, and I hope we never find out. Just keep your eyes and ears open, and if anything strikes you as odd, tell me at once, however trivial.
Right you are, sir. So what's the plan?
We can't go anywhere at night. So, we pull out as soon as it's light, assuming we're still here.
That's right, Colonel. Completely deserted.
Any sign of Tyranid activity?
Not now. But there's no telling how long the geophones were unmanned. Better go to full alert.
It's night on a death world, Commissar. We already are.
How soon can you extract us?
As soon as the relief crew gets there.
Another day, in other words. While they slog their way through the green hell the same way we had. Followed by tomorrow night, too. As there would be no chance at all of returning to the firebase before darkness fell. Far too long for my peace of mind. Something wasn't right here, and the sooner I was away from this accursed place, the better I'd like it.
Everything's sealed tight, Commissar. Tight as we can make it, anyway.
Good. How long until dawn?
5 or 6 hours. At least until the light starts filtering down through the trees. No one can move much before then.
So we'll just have to wait.
Which we did. For what seemed like a great deal longer than the sergeant's estimation. For some of that long, dragging night, I actually managed to sleep, falling into a fitful nightmare-plagued stupor, from which I awoke periodically, drenched in perspiration.
You're right, sir.
Oh, fine. What time is it?
Just gone 5, local clock. The sergeant reckons it'll be sun up soon.
Can't be soon enough for me. What's that?
Flask of Tanner, sir.
A Valhallan beverage, which Kane acquired an inexplicable taste for during his long association with regiments from that world. The Gothic language might contain an adjective sufficient to convey something of its flavour, but if it does, it so far eluded me.
Thought you might need a pick-me-up, so I brought some along.
You thought right, good man.
Ah. Anything to report?
Nothing so far. The Nids had another go at the firebase a couple of hours ago, but they fought them off as usual.
So, it looked as though I dragged us into this nightmare for nothing. Not for the first time. I got the feeling that the only reason I wasn't long dead, like most commissars my age, was the amount of amusement I afforded the Emperor.
Geophone reading, strength 12.
Vector,
straight for the compound.
Movement on the ore specs too. Holy throne, there must be thousands of them.
Vox, now.
Here, sir.
This is Commissar Kane at Echo 3-7. We've got incoming. Looks like half the Nids on the planet are heading straight for you.
Told you they like going for the flank.
Stand to. You've only got minutes before they arrive.
Thank you, Commissar. Throne me with you.
The Emperor protects. Though, so far as I could see, he was going to have his work cut out in my case. A single glance at the Auspects was enough to confirm my worst fears. Though the vast majority of that hideous seething mass of malevolent chitin was to pass us by, the outlying members of the swarm would pass close enough to detect our presence, and once they knew we were there, were certain to attack. Get onto one of the other beachheads and call for extraction. Our only way out of here now is by air.
Then we're reamed. Nothing can get through the canopy, it's too thick.
Which I already knew, of course. Why else would I have spent most of yesterday slogging through lethal jungle on foot? But one thing I'd learned in the course of far too many narrow brushes with death was that a dogged refusal to accept the inevitable made all the difference to my prospects of survival. At least they had so far, and I had no intention of allowing this occasion to become the exception to the rule.
One place we know for sure is free of vegetation. This sector here.
Where the main mass of Tyranids are.
Were. They've gone charging off to attack the firebase. There may be a few foragers left behind to feed the digester pools, but most of the warriors will be gone, leaving a big hole in the jungle a flyer can be put down in.
If we can make it that far in one piece.
It's still a better chance than staying here.
Agreed.
I've contacted Air Command. They're sending in a wave of Valkyrie strikes to disrupt the digestor pools while they're only lightly defended. The pilots will be listening out for our signal.
Good. Then let's get out of here before the NIDs arrive.
Sounds like they already have.
He unslung the melter he normally carried when we were expecting real trouble, while the Katakans readied their las guns. For my part, I drew my las pistol and chainsaw, thumbing the speed selector to maximum, reflecting that there was no reason not to look the part, at least. Hardly had I done so, that the sturdy Rock Creek walls shook again.
The break is through!
Wait for a target!
Carnifex!
Thought so.
Look out for the gaunts behind it!
Sure enough, the huge mass of misshapen muscle was surrounded by the smaller, bounding forms of Hormigaunts, leaping into the attack, their scything claws scissoring the air in search of flesh to rend. Most fell to the disciplined fire of the Katakans, but one leaped the barrier of its fallen broodmates to hurl itself headlong in my direction. I evaded the attack narrowly and parried the blade of chitin, the whirling teeth of my chainsword biting deep. As the hideous thing rallied and came at me again, the Carnifex advanced, thrusting its deformed shoulders further into the gap it had made in the wall in a desperate attempt to reach my aid. But Jürgen was ready for it and fired the melter again, taking the monstrous creature full in the face.
Frack off!
What he said.
The Hormigaunt turned to follow me as I feinted right, and I drove in, running it neatly through the thorax, ripping the blade free in a welter of ichor and masticated meat. The stroke was a killing one, and I turned at once towards the breach in the wall, bracing myself for a further onslaught. But to my relief, the charge was faltering, the tide of gaunts now scuttling back around the cadaver of the Carnifex.
They're on the run.
For now. They'll look for cover until the hive mind rallies them.
How long will that take?
Not long enough. It knows we're here now, and we can't defend this place with a hole that size in the wall. Any casualties?
They got Carter. Everyone else is in one piece.
Then we'd better get moving. While we still are.
We lost no time in leaving the outpost behind, making the best time we could towards the dubious sanctuary of the area the Tyranids had already stripped of biomass to fuel their apparently unstoppable advance. How the firebase had fared and whether the warning we'd given made any difference to their survival, we could only guess. The miniature transceiver in my ear being too low-powered to reach that far without a boost from the monitoring station's own Vox unit.
At least nothing's attacked us yet.
No.
Which worried me. On our journey the previous day, we'd been constantly fighting off the denizens of this murderous realm, and I couldn't help feeling their absence was ominous.
Tyranids must have eaten them all.
More than likely.
Remembering there was something else loose in the jungle too, I kept a vigilant watch for signs of movement. But if we were being stalked again, this time our tracker was keeping successfully out of sight. It was possible, of course, that it had been consumed by the Tyranid swarm, but somehow I doubted that. Judging by the condition of its victims' bodies, whatever it was would be more than capable of defending itself.
Wait. There's something up ahead.
We slowed our advance, weapons at the ready, alert for any sign of threat. The undergrowth around us rustled constantly, from the intermittent breeze, and from the constant flexing of the semi-sentient plants which sensed our passage and sought to snare us. Any stealthy footsteps stalking us were bound to be masked by the ambient sound, although that didn't stop me from straining my ears in a desperate attempt to distinguish them.
Emperor, preserve us!
At least we found the missing station crew.
We had indeed. Although in a manner which hadn't occurred to me in even my most morbid imaginings, their contorted cadavers were hanging from the trees around us. The hideous state of them, mute testament to the fact that their deaths had been neither quick nor easy.
What could have done this? Tortured them to death in the jungle at night? The creatures around here would rip a mob of orcs to pieces if they scented this much blood.
There's worse things than orcs.
Eldar Reavers. Has to be. This abomination has all their hallmarks.
Only the illiterate in the air truly appreciate the artistry of pain.
I don't mind admitting that at the sight of the tall, slight figure which ghosted into view from between the trees and their hideous harvest, my blood ran cold. I'd encountered these creatures before, and if there's a purer distillation of unmitigated evil in the galaxy, I have no desire to know about it. They claim to live on the agony of others, and for all I know, it's true. They certainly have an insatiable appetite for inflicting it.
Murdering bitch!
Manners?
She moved with impossible speed, cutting down the trooper who challenged her with casual disdain, her blade flickering like summer lightning as she carved her way through flesh and bone with equal ease. As he fell, her movements seemed to become even more lithe, and a smile of pure indulgence oozed across her face while she drank in the pain and terror of her latest victim's last moments. Hold your positions. Just keep her covered while we hear what she wants.
If you think that will do any good.
I was under no illusion that it would. If she chose to attack, she'd undoubtedly get most of us before the others cut her down. But most of us didn't have to include me, and wouldn't if I had anything to do with it.
How come her lips aren't moving?
She's using a vox coder, but she understands us well enough.
Just can't be bothered speaking Gothic.
Pollute my vocal cords with your animal grunts. Hardly.
Eldar witches are all like that.
Could a mere witch have done all this? Know me and tremble before your final agonies feed my acolytes. I'm Malithiar Mortalis, third succubus of the Tainted Kiss.
Only the third, and there I was thinking we might be in trouble.
Baiting a psychotic killer is never without risk, of course, but when you've come up against as many as I have, you soon learn that their greatest weakness is often their arrogance, especially when you're talking about Eldar. Besides, I'd been in the hands of these creatures before, if only for a mercifully brief time, and I knew all too well that provoking her into killing me quickly might soon turn out to be the best of a very short list of unattractive options.
Ha! Laugh while you can, Mon Key.
She gestured, almost imperceptibly, and half a dozen sinuous figures rippled into view around us. Like their dark mistress, they were clad half in armor, while the other side of their bodies bore no protection at all, beyond skin-tight body gloves artfully slashed to reveal glimpses of corpse-pallid flesh.
Are we in trouble now, sir?
Probably.
Take them. This time, there will be no need for haste. Consume them at your leisure.
Fire!
As the troop of witches danced towards us, their envenomed blades whirling in intricate patterns of lethality, I braced myself to meet their charge. Dueling one, I knew, would be like trying to cut down smoke. But I'd bested their like before, albeit more by luck than skill.
In fact, Kane was a gifted swordsman, probably one of the finest in the sector. Although, as in so many other things, he seems genuinely unaware of how exceptional he was.
And I just had to hope I could repeat the trick. One of the pirouetting nightmares fell almost at once, vaporized on the spot by a point-blank hit from Jürgen's melter, although her comrades evaded the blizzard of Lasgun bolts unleashed by the catechins with almost contemptuous ease. Though armed with pistols, they disdained the use of them, preferring to close and savor the infliction of pain and death in a whirling, balletic melee. To my surprise, however, none of them approached me, the reason for which became apparent almost at once as I saw Malicia moving in my direction with the lazy deliberation of a feline catching sight of a rodent with nowhere to run.
You have quite a reputation, Commissar Kane. Shall we see if the reality matches it?
I raised my chainsword for the guard position, masking my unease as best I could. It seemed she knew who I was, and knowing how her kind bore grudges, that was distinctly disturbing. I'd been instrumental in their defeat more than once, or, to be more accurate, had been handed most of the credit once the dust had settled. Perhaps she saw this as a chance to even the score. Before our blades could clash, however, we were interrupted.
Look out, sir! Nids!
My aide was right. No sooner had he uttered his warning than a tidal wave of malevolent chitin burst from the curtain of vegetation surrounding us, engulfing the struggling guardsmen and witches alike.
This way! If you wish to live a little longer!
She turned as she spoke, disemboweling one of the hulky warrior forms in a dazzling display of elegant butchery, just as the hideous creature leveled its venom cannon at me. Quite why she would bother to save my life eluded me at that moment, although my innate paranoia assured me that whatever her reasons, I wasn't going to be happy with them when I found out. Nevertheless, as I'd learned all too well over the years, in situations like this, the only thing to do was take advantage of everything you could to get out of them and let the future take care of itself.
Ladies first.
I followed the bloody trail the succubus hacked from the ranks of the Tyranid swarm, my boots slipping in spilled ichor and heaps of viscera at almost every step, marveling at her deadly expertise. I must admit, I was sorely tempted to just shoot her in the back while I had the chance. Only the reflection that to do so would be to leave me at the mercy of the Tyranid swarm stayed my hand. That and the fact that she must surely be expecting so obvious an attack. So to make the attempt would be to invite instant retaliation. And I was by no means sure she wouldn't be able to evade faster than I could pull the trigger. Besides which, both my weapons were busily enough employed, fending off the gaunts and termagants which swarmed around the larger warriors, hurling themselves at us in an insensate frenzy. Then, all at once, we were clear.
We need to go back. Help the others.
Not that I had the remotest intention of doing so, of course, since it would mean almost certain death. But the Reaver appeared to believe my reputation, and reinforcing that illusion might help me gain the element of surprise later on.
They will prevail, or they were too weak to live. Either way, they're of no further concern.
The sound of the melter firing was enough to reassure me that Jürgen, at least, was still in the fight. And if anyone was likely to walk away from it, it would be my aide. For a moment, I was tempted to vox him, but distracting him in the middle of a desperate fight for survival was unlikely to end well. So I settled for leaving the channel open. That way, at least we'd be aware of one another's final moments. What then?
I know a safe refuge. Our chances of reaching it alive will be far greater if we cooperate.
Safe for who?
No harm will come to you, which I can prevent. You have my word.
And we both knew what that was worth. Nevertheless, I nodded my agreement. The direction we were going in was towards the zone the Tyranids had cleared, and I undoubtedly stood a better chance of reaching it with this blood-chilling embodiment of lethality watching my back. At least for as long as it suited her. For my own part, I'd just have to remain on guard for the slightest sign of treachery, and be ready to get my retaliation in first.
And you have mine.
Truce, then. Hurry, before the beasts rally.
For the following reconstruction of events, I'm indebted to the after-action report submitted by Sergeant Zale. With its help, I've been able to infer much of what happened following Kane's departure from the battlefield in the company of the Dark Eldar Succubus.
I think we've just run out of nids.
Not before time. What happened?
We got all the big ones, so the rest run away.
Without the synapse creatures to herd them, the smaller organisms would have been cut off from the influence of the hive mind and reverted to their instinctive behavior patterns. In this instance, to run for cover.
But what about the Eldar?
Not so lucky. What was left of our squad and the Commissar's aide fanned out to make sure. But our first impression turned out to be right. All the Xenos women were dead, although they were each surrounded by so many dismembered Tyranids that it took us a while to be certain we'd located them all.
But most of the Nids seem to have gone after them instead of us. Why would they do that?
Don't know, don't care. Just thank the throne.
Almost certainly because Jürgen was a blank, one of the incredibly rare individuals with a natural talent for nullifying any psychic or warp-spawned phenomena in his immediate vicinity. He appears to have disrupted the hive mind's connection to its synapse creatures on several occasions, and it's more than likely he did so in this instance as well.
The Emperor protects!
Any sign of the Commissar?
None. Or that Xenos harlot.
Probably both dead by now.
Not the Commissar. His fox speed still working.
Tracks. Over here.
Show me.
I was certain he would have led the way if he could, but reading the jungle is a skill that takes time to learn. Instead, he kept his melter ready for instant use and followed hard on my heels, leaving the others to bring up the rear.
Where did those Tyranids come from so suddenly?
You saw the direction. Where do you think?
The firebase must have driven them off.
Or been overrun. Either way, we've got the entire swarm on our heels. Better hope the Commissar's plan works before they catch up.
Within moments, it seemed, we were deep in the jungle, completely out of sight of the charnel grove, and the battle which had raged within it. Despite the misgivings I still felt about the alliance I'd struck, I couldn't deny that I needed it. It was now clear that the Tyranids hadn't been solely responsible for the absence of local predators which had occasioned me such unease. Though we were attacked less frequently than on the previous day's march, the jungle still contained enough unpleasant surprises to keep me constantly scanning our surroundings for lurking threats.
So, your attention isn't entirely on me.
Disappointed?
Surprised? I was expecting you to try to kill me before now.
Funny. I was thinking the same thing.
Behind you!
I wondered how long it would take you to spot it. You have a remarkably strong survival instinct for a member of so weak a species.
Quite. I wasn't nearly as sure of myself as I tried to sound, of course, but I knew a head case when I saw one. Melissia was a predator, pure and simple, and however much she thought she needed me, would turn on me in a heartbeat if she scented a scintilla of weakness. It was just in her nature.
Was that a challenge? I'm so glad I chose well.
A turn of phrase which sent a shudder through me, as strongly as if I'd just stepped into a Valhallan shower. But I masked the reaction with the consummate ease of the lifelong dissembler.
Chose? For what?
A traveling companion.
You had bodyguards.
So did you. Much good they did either of us. I like this world. Like home, without the intrigue.
Is that why you're here? Your idea of a holiday?
You could call it a hunting trip.
Which sort of made sense. For a race which relished the pain of others, a death world would be like a day at the beach, let alone one overrun with tyrannids and imperial guardsmen energetically dismembering one another.
Did you bring many friends along on this little junket?
From what I remembered, Eldar Reavers tended to attack in force, making lightning raids before melting back into the warp through one of the portals they seemed able to open pretty much anywhere they liked. If Melissio was a scout for a full-scale incursion, I needed to know, so I could find a bolt hole before it arrived.
Just the ones you've met. This is a private hunt of the very special quarry.
So long as you're enjoying yourself.
The trail was easy enough to follow, and we made good time, urged on by the Commissar's aide, who seemed convinced that he was still alive and well. Though I never said so, I had another reason for hurrying. The Tyranid army was hard on our heels, and if I'd read the signs about us correctly, getting closer all the time. I could hear faint sounds of movement in the distance, and the motile plants about us seemed agitated, as if they were sensing an approaching threat. And if that wasn't enough, I had yet another cause for concern.
I can only see one set of tracks. That still leaves the Eldar unaccounted for.
We didn't see any tracks before, either.
You wouldn't. Her kind don't leave any.
That doesn't mean she's with the Commissar.
His Vox channel's still open. I can hear her talking.
So we won't have to worry about an ambush anyway.
Lictor! Frack! Just winged it. Your man?
Dead. It appeared out of nowhere.
They do that. Said they were sneaky. Better get a move on, before the rest arrive.
The rest?
They scout ahead of the swarm. Leave a trail the rest can sniff out and follow. Come on.
It's gone the same way as the Commissar.
Better find him quick then, hadn't we?
There.
That's what you were making for.
I stopped in my tracks, astonished at the sight ahead. It was a building, or the remains of one at least, titanic in scale, and so overgrown that until we had approached to within a few score meters, it had simply blended into the rich greenery surrounding us. Nevertheless, as my eye began to adjust to the reality of it, I found myself able to pick out the stumps of individual buttresses and the scattered remains of tumbled walls. Blocks of masonry the size of bane blades lay everywhere, and I could scarcely imagine the effort with which they'd been raised, or the heights to which they'd once soared. The overriding impression I got, however, was one of astonishing antiquity. These ruins had lain here, tumbled and unregarded, for millennia before humanity had arrived on this world, possibly before we'd even first left our own.
What is this place?
No one knows. The ones who built it were ancient beyond even our imagining. But the legacy they left endures.
Legacy?
The Webway. Places like this contain portals which are easier to open.
Do they indeed?
Though I kept my voice as even as possible,
I couldn't entirely suppress the thrill of horror which ran through me at her words. Hellish as they were, it seemed the Tyranids were by far the lesser threat now. I could imagine all too easily an army of Reavers pouring through the rent in reality these ruins concealed, to fall like ravening wolves on the billions of innocent souls packed into the industrial hives scattered throughout the system.
Something we were preparing to take advantage of until the Great Devourer interrupted our plans. We can hardly harvest your system while it's fortified against invasion, can we? But monitoring your crude communications alerted me to a greater prize, here for the taking.
And that would be?
You, of course.
She eyed me with cool amusement as she spoke, waiting for my reaction. No doubt anticipating shock, desperation, and panic. All of which, I'm bound to say, chase themselves around my synapses. But I've spent a lifetime hiding my true nature from all around me, and with probably the greatest effort of my life, I let none of the inner turmoil show on my face. I'm flattered, of course, but I'm afraid you're in for a disappointment. I'm nothing special.
You are to me.
As she spoke, a faint shimmer appeared in the air, like fireflies dancing the summer heat haze, and the hairs on my arms bristled, rubbing against the sleeves of my shirt. This must be the portal itself, and I wondered for an instant how I could have been so stupid as to have been lured almost to within arm's length of it. I had no idea what lurked beyond, but anywhere Melissia called home would, without doubt, be hellish beyond imagining.
A hero of his people, a soul blazing with nobility and self-sacrifice. Have you any idea how much power you represent?
I'm sure you're about to enlighten me. I've lost count of the number of obsessives, megalomaniacs, and commoner garden loons who've held me at gunpoint over the years, both literally and metaphorically. And if I've learned one thing, it's that they never get tired of the sound of their own voices. Or, in Melissia's case, the sound of their artificially produced one. The longer you can keep them talking, the greater the chance they'll get distracted. All right, there wasn't that much chance of distracting so pure and focused a predator as Melissia, but I consoled myself with the thought that at least Jürgen was listening in. If he'd managed to get within Voxbeed range by now, I might even be lining up a kill shot, if the Emperor hadn't decided I'd run out of entertainment value at last.
With the energy I drain from your agonies, I'll be far stronger than the other succubi. Their heads will fall, and the tainted kiss will be mine to do with as I will.
Oh, how disappointing. Needless to say, it took every iota of self-control I possessed to retain the appearance of calm. And if you doubt that, I suggest you try putting yourself in the hands of a sadistic psychopath gloating over the prospect of torturing you slowly to death, and see how easy you find it to project an air of composure. By the Emperor's grace, however, or sheer talent for deception, I seem to have pulled off the trick. At any rate, insofar as I could read her expression at all, Melissia seemed disconcerted by my unexpected response.
Disappointing.
Well, after all that build-up, I was expecting something a bit less prosaic than office politics.
Prosaic? You can't even begin to comprehend the complexity of the plots I'll weave, the alliances I'll forge, the elegance of the betrayals I'll engineer. But if there's any part of you that remains sane after the first few times I've drawn sustenance from your screams, I'll share their wonder with your husk.
This was the moment, now or never, and I took it. Share this! Even as I fired, though, I realized I'd underestimated her. She was moving, a sardonic smile on her face, before my finger had even tightened on the trigger, and I realized the instant of distraction I thought I'd seen was merely a ploy. The Lasbolts expended themselves harmlessly among the stones, apart from a couple which seemed to vanish into thin air after brushing the fringes of the portal, and I made a mental note to avoid that area at all costs. If I was drawn into the vortex, I'd be lost, my fate sealed, with only a hideously protracted death to look forward to. As she closed, Melissia took a swipe at my chest with her blade, which I parried purely by instinct.
Oh, not bad. But I'm so much better.
which I'm bound to admit she was. Her speed and dexterity, quite phenomenal. Time and again, her venomed blade came within millimeters of my skin, and had I time to think about that, the prospect would have terrified me. Even a drop of that baleful toxin entering my bloodstream would have been fatal. Not instantly, either. I had no doubt that she only intended to incapacitate me before dragging me through the shimmering rent in the air to whatever unimaginable horror she had prepared, which, I gradually began to realize, was the main advantage I possessed. Whether or not Melissia was aware of it, she was holding back, wary of dispatching me too early, which would derail all her grandiose plans. First blood to me. It was just a nick, inflicted more by luck than anything. But suddenly, the dynamic of the fight changed, and Melissia drove in far harder than hitherto. Evidently, her pride had been wounded rather more than her arm, and she was no longer willing to hold back. Anger flooded her face, and she unleashed a flurry of blows I was hard-pressed to parry. Indeed, had I not been an experienced enough duelist to trust entirely to instinct and reflex instead of conscious technique, I doubt that I would have done.
You'll pay for that, I promise you.
Got change for 10.
Her anger was the first real sign of weakness I'd seen in her. And I continued goading, in spite of the risk. It was only then that I realized her stratagem. As we'd exchanged blows, we'd circled, each searching for an opening in the other's guard, and my back was now facing the portal. In spite of all I could do, I was forced to give ground against her frenzied onslaught, and a sudden prickling in the hair follicles all over my body abruptly warned me of the danger I was in. She was attempting to force me through, and in another step or two, my fate would be sealed. I had only one option left. It was risky, but the alternative would be unthinkable. I still held the last pistol, although attempting to use it while we'd been trading blows hadn't been an option. Breaking my concentration enough to try to aim would have allowed her to cut me down where I stood. I didn't have to aim for what I had in mind, though. I just raised the muzzle to my own head and pulled the trigger. As I'd anticipated, Melissia lunged forward to grab the weapon, everything else forgotten in the desperate desire not to see her extravagant plans derailed by my inconvenient suicide.
No!
She was almost too late, but all in all, if she hadn't been, I doubt I'd have regretted the alternative. Far better an easy death by my own hand than a prolonged and hideous one at hers. As it worked out, though, she was just in time to deflect the shot, while I took advantage of her distraction to run her through with my trusty chainsaw. As she slumped to the ground and I kicked her weapon away, I got as far from her and the portal as I could.
Messiah, do you read?
Jürgen, good to hear you.
There's a link to move in your way, sir. We're right behind it, but...
I know. The hideous creature charged me at once, lashing out with its huge striking claws, while the shorter arms strained in my direction, their talon-tipped fingers flexing as though already embedded in my entrails. I rolled desperately aside, striking out with my chain blade, but succeeded only in scoring a deep gash in its chitinous armor, through which some noisome ichor began to seep. Had it not been for the deep, cauterized wound on its flank, unquestionably the result of a glancing head from Jürgen's melter, which had injured its left-hand claw, it would undoubtedly have had me.
Hang on, sir. Almost there.
Which was encouraging, but not encouraging enough. I rolled to my feet and struck again, this time fending off a grab from its nearest hand, which left the arm crippled. But I was under no illusions about being able to fend this monster off for much longer, especially debilitated as I still was from the furious fight with Melissia. By this time, I could hear the crashing of vegetation, which meant that reinforcements were near. And whether I'd be able to last out even that long was by no means certain. When deliverance came, it was from a most unexpected source.
Leave him. He's mine.
How she still lived was beyond me. But live she did, swaying on her feet while the blood continued to flow from the ragged wound ripped by my chainsaw. She had a pistol in her hand, a strange, misshapen thing, which she kept trained on the lictor, although the effort of keeping it on aim was etched into her face. The huge tyrannid staggered, and she fired again. The toxins she was pumping into it, ravaging its system.
For a moment, I thought it was going to fall, but instead it rallied, regaining its feet and looking dumbly about itself for a line of retreat. It took a faltering step back in the direction it had come, but too late. My aid and the few surviving Katagans were waiting for it. Fire! That was enough. True to its instinct to flee in the face of effective resistance, the lictor broke in the only direction left open to it. Before Melissa could react, the thing was on her, ripping her apart like a discarded rag doll. Pursued by our vengeful weapons fire, it plunged through the portal and vanished, as though it had never been.
Where did it go?
Pray you never find out. Jürgen, your Voxbeed.
Right here, sir.
Just drop it on the ground and come on.
If you say so.
Come on. The rest will be here any minute.
Good. Maybe they'll follow it through.
Through what?
I'll explain later. Come on!
To my relief, surprise, we made it to the tree line without needing anything else determined to kill us, and contacted an incoming Valkyrie flight with gratifying speed. Before long, we were hurrying up the boarding ramp of the flight leader.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Get back in the air, fast. The whole swarm is right behind us.
Ugh. Had to be aircraft.
Circling back for a recce, sir.
Scan for this frequency. We left a Vox speed as a locator beacon.
Got it. But that can't be right.
What can't?
We've got multiple life forms on the off specs, but they're just disappearing. Thousands of them into thin air. Must be an equipment malfunction.
It's not, believe me. Wait until they've all gone and target your entire payload on the beacon. Everyone else's too.
You were right, sir. The whole swarm's following the lictor through the portal.
And much joy may the Reavers have of them.
Firing now!
In all honesty, I had no idea whether bombing the portal would seal it or not, but it was worth a try, and at least I'd got rid of a fair proportion of the Nids assailing the system. It wasn't until Amberley arrived a few weeks later, in response to my urgent messages, that my mind was finally put at rest.
My people tell me there's no sign of an active portal anywhere in the system, which doesn't mean the Dark Eldar won't open it again, of course, but I think that's unlikely.
You do? Melissa as good as told me they'd been planning an attack for some time.
And got a Tyranid swarm dumped in their laps as a result. Wouldn't that put you off?
Fair point. But there are far fewer Nids down there than there were. Removing the biggest swarm tipped the balance decisively in our favour. It's only a matter of time before they're eradicated entirely.
Even so, we'll be prepared for a raid now. And the Dark Eldar never have the stomach for a stand-up fight. They'll look for another target.
Bad news for someone.
But not for me. For now, I was as safe as I ever got. Or so I thought.
So, what are you doing now?
I'm waiting for orders. There's always another war somewhere.
So there is. But in the meantime...
What?
There is a little something you could help me with.
Of course.
Good. I knew I could rely on you.
As much as anyone could. But whatever life-threatening horrors she was about to drag me into could hardly have been worse than the ones I'd so recently been through. And at least I knew her company would make it worthwhile.
Waiting Death, by Steve Lyons. Performed by Toby Longworth. Borealis 4. Can't say it was the most distinguished campaign of my long career. A jungle planet, orbiting a red giant,
on the inner rim of the Segmentum Tempestus. 110 degrees in the shade. Serpents lurking under every leaf, stinging insects as big as a man's fist. Even the flowers coughed out a nasty, muscle-wasting virus. It was a damn disappointment, I can tell you. I had hoped for a challenge. Never did find out if Borealis 4 was worth saving. Could be that its crust was packed full of minerals and precious stones. Could be it was as dry as a corpse's throat. All that mattered back then was that when the explorators set foot on this green new world, they found a surprise waiting for them. A chaos-worshipping cult, proud of the fact that the dark gods had begun to pervert their flesh and deform their bones. And that's where I came in. Colonel Ironhand Strachan, along with 3 regiments of the finest damn soldiers in the whole of the Imperium. Catacan jungle fighters. Well, don't just dance with those damn sissies' graves. Use your knife, man. A Varuga, you're as slow as a brain leak plant. You idle slugs. You're gonna let this filth spew on the good name of the Catacan second? I could whip this bunch with my one good arm if you sons of Groxes weren't in my way. Thorn, stop flapping about like a damn newborn. You still got one damned hand. So pick up that Lasker. Kopacek, you got a clear shot with that flamer. What the hell are you waiting for? Emperor's teeth! Do I have to do everything myself? We tore through that scum like blades through a reed bed. They were ill-disciplined, ill-equipped, didn't know what had hit them. They'd wasted their damn lives dancing around altars in ladies' clothes, waving stinking candles. Should have spent a few days on my world. They'd have learned how to fight like men. I'd made a bet with my opposite number, Caraway of the 14th, that we'd be done here in 4 months tops. 2 months in, it looked like I was going to collect on that bet. Until that one night. That one night, when my platoon of some 30 hardened vets, along with a certain General Farris, was cut off from our comrades, stranded in the darkest depths of the Borealis jungle. That night, when I faced one of the toughest, most desperate challenges of my life. That night, when I had to fight my own damned men. Pick up the pace back there. What do you think this is? A newborn's trip to the damn mango swamps? Myers, put some muscle into those knife strokes. Levitsky, Varuga, keep trying to kick some life into that damn boxcaster. Emperor's teeth! It's come to something when you mama's boys can't finish off a bunch of damn half-mutant freaks. And in front of the general. Well, I don't care how long it takes. Not a one of you is slacking off for a single damn second till we're back behind our lines. I promised you today was going to be a cakewalk, and the man who makes a liar out of old Ironhand Strachan, I will throttle with his own entrails! What? What am I looking at here? Where the hell did this come from? Without warning, we had come to a clearing, at least 0.5 kilometer wide. The jungle canopy opened right up, and I was dazzled by the last rays of the setting sun. The air was suddenly cool and fresh, scented with blossom. And, squinting against the light, I could make out dark, unnatural shapes. Buildings. Dark-timbered wooden huts. My first thought was that we'd found an enemy bolt hole. But these huts were sturdy and well-kept, arranged around a larger central hall. Our enemies could never have built anything so orderly. Besides, if the taint of the ruinous powers had been there, I'd have damn well smelt it. Why, then, was my gut warning me of something rotten about this place? And why the hell didn't I listen to it? A figure approached us from between the huts. A boy, barely into his teenage years, but with the blood-red light behind him, I couldn't make out much more than that. Of course, my men reacted as they had been trained to do. But the boy didn't seem at all worried by the sight of 30 lasgun muzzles pointed at his heart. He padded closer. As the sun disappeared, and the clearing was washed in the faint blue light of a swollen moon, I could make out the boy's face, round and gentle, his eyes bright and wide. His skin was sun-bronzed to perfection, and the moonlight made his bald head shine like a halo. He was wearing a simple white robe, ornamented by a garland of flowers. "Welcome." The boy cocked his head a little, his full lips pursed as if he found the sight of 30 bloodied vets on his doorstep somehow amusing.